All right, sorry for the delay with getting set up here with the mic. But hi, I'm Cameron Cox. I'm the one of the missions deacons here, and Myron is still on vacation. He'll be back next week. So I know he had Jonathan preach last week, and he asked if I could cover this Sunday. So, and when he asked me about, hey, could you cover August 13th? Honestly, I didn't really have anything in my mind of what to pray, but he said, you know what? It could be something that you've talked about before. And I told him, well, I talked to some eighth graders back in June at our, I work at a Christian school, and was asked to speak at their graduation ceremony. So I said, well, I could do that. And he's like, oh yeah, that sounds great. And then I also told him, well, when they asked me to speak there, I just asked, like, could it just be a short, like, 10, 15 minute thing? And so they were cool with it there, but he said, well, okay, beef it up a little bit maybe here. So I'm gonna hopefully not go too much longer, but I did add a few things. But the reason why I preached the message or gave the message that I gave to that group of students was because it's been on my heart lately that it's so critical for Christians or people who say that they know Jesus to actually live the life out. And not just say it or be cultural Christians or whatever, or nominal Christians, but to actually live it out. And some of the things I was seeing, you know, with some of these middle schoolers, because I had worked with them all year, but I saw some things with some of them that I wanted them to understand as they're going into the next stage of their life into high school, that your words matter, your attitude matters, and your faith matters. And actually, the whole reason I even wanted to work at a Christian school, I've been working there for about two, going into my third year now, was that I've, in my previous line of work, I had seen God do things. I was working in the college setting in that for most of my career, in higher education, secular higher education. And I saw God save people in that environment. And I saw people hungry for Jesus, even though they might not have known what they were looking for. It was apparent that what they needed is Christ in their life, you know. And so I wanted to go to a Christian school to encourage students, like, hey, when you get up there, your faith is not going out of fashion. Actually, what's really going out of fashion is the things of this world. Eventually, they're going to be, the Bible even tells us, I mean, the end of the story is already written in here. You know, God says that the whole earth, there's a time coming when the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of God. The whole earth will be full of the knowledge of God. So I wanted them to understand that how critical it is for them to live their faith out. And one of the things I wanted them to know, and what I want to hopefully encourage those of you who are online watching this and those of you who are here in person, is that everything starts with your relationship with Him. That you got to make the Lord a priority. So if we can go to the next slide. In Jeremiah 9, 23 to 24, God says this. It says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I'm the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So there's a lot of people who, they have confidence in a lot of things, right? How wealthy they are, you know, in this day and age, it might even be like, oh, I've got a YouTube channel or a TikTok, you know, account, and how many, you know, clicks am I getting? How many followers do I have? All sorts of things that people put their value and their worth in. Maybe it's in, you know, working with students, athletics at our school, athletics is a big thing. You know, sometimes people are putting their value in the sport they play or just any number of things. And really, these things are passing away. Man's wisdom is passing away. Man's riches are passing away. Man's strength is passing away. Those are not strong enough to sustain us through life. The world needs to see our faith in action, right? If we could go to the next slide. And so here's a question. I've been doing a lot of interviews lately because we're hiring people at our school. And so I've been, one of the questions we usually ask, I'm giving an interview secret out here, is we usually ask people what motivates them in a job. That's one of the questions we typically ask. But this is a question we should be asking ourselves every day, right? What's motivating me? Why am I getting out of bed today? You know, what am I looking forward to accomplishing today? And some days are hard. There's days we get up and we don't really want to get out of bed, right? You know, but the other thing is, what do you turn to when things are hard or difficult? You know, when I was working with college students, I actually remember meeting this guy who's, I worked at a community college, so actually the age range is very wide of students. You know, I had people right out of high school or Running Start students who were still in high school, all the way to grandparents as students at our school, right? And this one guy, he was a military veteran, probably in his late 20s, but was going through a hard time with, he had two kids, but him and the mom had split up, and she lived in Eastern Washington. He was telling me how he would drive every weekend over the mountains to see his kids and all the way back, and you could tell he was exhausted, you know, plus he's working, plus he's doing school. And I asked him, like, hey, well, you know, when times are hard, where do you go, you know? Like, what do you turn to? And he kind of mentioned a few things, and I said something about, like, hey, for me, like, my faith is really important to me. That's what I got to lean on, you know. And then he started talking about his mom is Catholic, and it kind of opened a door for some things. Later on, I ran into him sometime later. Oh, by the way, during that conversation, we had the Gideons on our campus, and they handed me a Bible, even though I was like, I'm already a Christian, you know, maybe save those. But they're like, it's okay, we have all these Bibles. So I just took it, I put it on a bookshelf in my office, you know. And in this conversation, I mentioned to him, you know, hey, these guys gave me a free New Testament. If you want that book, you can have it, you know. And so he took it, and sometime later I saw him, and he said, he told me, he said, yeah, you know that New Testament you gave me? Sometimes I read it, you know. So lean into your relationship with Christ because your faith matters in this world, and people are watching you. If we could go to the next slide. Now, some of you, I've talked about my grandmother, I think, before here. And when I was a kid, my grandmother, about 10 years old, my grandmother came to live with us. My mom was a single mom at that point. So my grandmother came to live with us to help my mom out. And my grandmother always was reading her Bible, like first thing in the morning, at night, sometimes in the middle of the day, you'd see her read her Bible. She learned how to play the piano by ear, and so sometimes she would play the piano during the day and sing hymns. Sometimes she wouldn't even, she'd just be walking around the house or washing dishes singing hymns. She would talk to everyone about Jesus. I remember going to the grocery store with her. She would tell the clerk about Jesus and things Jesus is doing in her life. She would go to the department store and tell the makeup lady at the counter about what Jesus was doing in her life. And she was a powerful prayer warrior. You know, and so if you ever saw my grandmother, she might look like that. That's not my grandmother, but she might look like that. You might, that's how I remember seeing her, often like that. But if you go to the next slide, I see her more like this now in a spiritual sense. That she was a mighty warrior. And she was familiar with suffering. She was poor. Most of her life, she was poor. She outlived two of her children. She knew what suffering was, but she never gave up on Jesus. She always turned to him. And when she passed away, almost 20 years ago now, but when she passed away, they were going through her things, and they found a list of names of people that she prayed for every single day. It took her about 2 hours to pray through this list of people every single day. So, she set an example for me. If you're a grandparent in here, your example is so powerful for your grandkids. She showed me what faith looks like in action. And because of her, I got curious about reading the Bible. That's when I actually started to read the Bible. Because I was like, what is this book she's always reading, you know? And as I read the Bible, I started to see who God was. I started to really learn who God was. Even though at that point I was going to church and stuff, my family would take me. Now it was starting to get deep. So if we could go to the next slide. So here's the question. Are you hungry? And are you thirsty for something real in this life? Something that you can build a foundation on? Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. If you want to be satisfied and joyful in this life, Jesus is the key to that. Sometimes I tell my kids or I tell students that I talk to that Jesus is the answer to the world's biggest problems. The world has some big problems. Jesus is the answer to them. But you know, in this world, and hey, for them especially, they're young, right? And a lot of us remember our teenage years or our middle school years. But it's true for us even today as adults, no matter what age you are. We get pulled. We feel pulled in different directions, right? And some of you may have heard the story of the two wolves, which is a legend. It's been attributed as a Native American legend. But the story of the two wolves is about, goes like this. There was a young boy who came to see his grandfather, and he was very upset. And the grandfather asked him, why are you upset? What happened? And the boy told him that there were some boys who mistreated him. And now he was mad and he wanted payback. He wanted revenge. And his grandfather listened to him and then said, you know, I also have feelings like this sometimes where I want to pay people back who've been mean to me. I want to get revenge. You know, I want to just dwell on how much I hate them. But he says, it feels like there's two wolves fighting inside of me. One wolf wants revenge. One wolf wants power and payback and control. The other wolf wants to be gentle and kind and compassionate and loving. And his grandson looks at him finally and asks, well, grandfather, which wolf wins? And he said, the grandfather says, the one I feed. The one I feed wins. So what are you going to feed yourself with? What are you feeding yourself with? When I would, you know, it's been in the news lately that hip-hop is celebrating its 50-year anniversary. I think actually at Yankee Stadium in New York, they just had a big, huge concert. All these legends of hip-hop music. When I was a kid, hip-hop was what I loved. I loved hip-hop music. And as I got older, though, some of the hip-hop music I listened to, I started to feel convicted about because there's a lot of swearing and cussing and talk things about violence and, different sexual things, whatnot. And I started to feel like, hey, I need to maybe change what I listen to a little bit because it does kind of affect you after a while, right? So you gotta feed yourself with the right things. What are you inputting into your soul? Galatians 5:16, by the way, there's a typo. It's actually verse 5:16-18, not 26. So Galatians 5:16-18 kind of hints on this struggle, sort of like the wolf analogy, right? It says, so I say, was writing this to the Galatian church. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And what he's talking about, the law of Moses, right? Because Jesus fulfilled the law for us. We couldn't do it. If you've ever compared yourself to the, most people are like, hey, are you a good person? Oh yeah, I'm a good person, right? But then if you're like, okay, are you a good person in comparison to the Ten Commandments? Like when I look at the Ten Commandments, I'm like, if this is a test, I got a F+. Because, you know, and Jesus even in the Sermon on the Mount expands on what the Ten Commandments mean, you know? Did you take God's name in vain? Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever told a lie? You know, have you ever bared false witness? Have you ever, Jesus says, it says do not murder, right, in the Ten Commandments. And then Jesus expands on it and says, if you harbor hatred towards somebody in your heart, That's the same as if you murdered them in the eyes of God. Whoa, that bar is so heavy, you know? Ten Commandments say, do not commit adultery, but Jesus says, well, if you look at somebody that's not your spouse lustfully, and that's in your head, that's considered adultery in the eyes of God. I mean, the bar is so high. But Jesus fulfills the law for us, right? If we believe in Jesus, he wipes away those sins through his death and resurrection. And so anyway, we have this battle going on inside of us. The Bible talks about it, between the Holy Spirit, which lives in you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and our flesh. We still have our worldly desires. But one of the things, too, with the students was I wanted them to understand that high school can be hard, right? Middle school's hard. High school can be hard, too. And once they get out of high school, their life will still have its challenges. Actually, Jesus tells us, he says, in this life, you're going to have trouble. He warns us, like, hey, if you're going to be a Christian, I'm just letting you know, it's going to be hard. You know, this is not prosperity gospel stuff. He's like, in this world, you have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. That's the part sometimes I've wrestled with God, like, hey, Lord, it's tough right now. Like, what is this I've overcome the world part about? Because I'm having the trouble part, but I need to know a little more about that. And so, oh, here's a couple things, and we can go to the next slide. When you're trying to find your purpose in this world, your faith matters, because he says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That's Jeremiah 29:11. When you're struggling with your identity and your self-worth, your faith matters, because he says, you were made in the image of God. That's in Genesis 1:26-27. And he even tells us in the New Testament, you know, Jesus himself says that the hairs on our head are numbered. And he values us so much that he entered this world, suffered, died, and rose from the dead just for us. And the New Testament tells us even angels who see everything, right? The angels, they see God. Even they are blown away by this story. And it says, even angels long to look into this mystery. When you're feeling fearful or anxious, your faith matters, because he says, I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. That's Isaiah 41:13. And when you're disappointed in a friendship or a relationship, your faith matters, because he says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That's in Hebrews 13:5 and Deuteronomy 31:6. When you've been mistreated, your faith matters, because he says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's Romans 12:21. And do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. That's Romans 12:19. You see, the injustices of this world are not okay with God. But he wants us to let him take care of the justice part of it. And when you're struggling with anger or bitterness, your faith matters, because he says, the anger of man cannot produce the righteousness of God. That's James 1:20. And he says in Ephesians 4:31-32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as Christ and God forgave you. You see, these are situations that we will find ourselves in from day to day. Oh, sorry, got a couple more here. And when you're struggling with insecurity, maybe you're insecure in your faith even. Hey, could God really forgive me? The answer is absolutely he can, and he does. Because your faith matters, because Jesus says in John chapter 10, my sheep, and if you've put your faith in Jesus, you're one of his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one will snatch them out of my Father's hand. So you're secure in the hands of Jesus and in the hands of God the Father. And he also says in Romans 8:37-39, no, in all these things, this is Paul writing to the Roman church, he says, No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, here's the thing. I think of my grandmother now as a mighty warrior. Why? Because she filled her life with this, and she applied it to her life. This, you know, the Bible calls, or, you know, Scripture says, the Bible says that this is the sword of the Spirit, right? This was her weapon to fight the daily battles. And when you fill your mind with these things, the words of God, you can apply it to any situation that you're in. I mean, I could have came up with tons more verses than I shared with you with some of these examples. And by the way, scientists are even catching up to this, right? Scientists are catching up to the idea that faith matters, because there's research now out there. There's actually quite a lot of research on this about the role of faith in the lives of people. And it's, mental health is a big word right now, right? Everyone's talking about mental health. It's big in the education world. It's big in like the secular world. But people are seeing that mental health and faith can have very positive correlations together. Some of the things that the research is finding is that those who have developed a spiritual, sometimes they use words like spiritual life or whatnot, but essentially they're talking about religious, you know, are actively involved in a religious, cultivating their spiritual life. They talk about it enhances positive emotions, optimism, more gratitude. They say it's it strongly counteracts a negative or pessimistic outlook on life. They found that it affects people's health, that they have better sleep, better overall health, that they are able to stay more calm in stressful situations. It lowers depression rates, and they have a greater satisfaction with their life. One study that was on NPR not too long ago found that 82% that people who are actively involved with faith, have an active faith, they're 82% less likely to experience suicidal ideation, and over 80% less likely to experience substance addictions. Additionally, they found that they often have better relationships in their lives. They have higher rates of being able to successfully overcome adversity and trauma in their lives. A lot of research related to trauma, if you look at post-traumatic growth, there's a thing called post-traumatic growth, which is how do people successfully maneuver through traumatic life experiences. It mentions faith as a key component in that. Also, there's some research that was done by UCLA. Actually, they did a 7-year study on this. And UCLA, over 14,000 college students from around the United States participated in this study. And they found that those students had higher grade point averages, higher satisfaction with school, a stronger ability to get along with people of different backgrounds, races, ethnicities than themselves. And they had a higher level of equanimity, which essentially what they mean by that is their ability to successfully navigate the stressful points of their lives during their college years in healthy ways. So the data is out there and supports this. But it's not enough to say you're a Christian. It's not enough to just say you're a Christian. It's not enough to even just come to church on Sunday or to watch church every Sunday online. You have to be involved. You have to be connected to the source of everything, which is cultivating a life with Jesus Christ. And it starts really with the two greatest commandments, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving one another. And I wanted to play a clip from S.M. Lockridge. S.M. Lockridge was a well-known African-American pastor in the San Diego area. He passed away in the year 2000, but in the 1970s, he preached one of his most famous sermons called My King. And S.M. Lockridge was a guy who definitely knew who to go to when life was hard. And so I don't know if we can cue that. This clip is sort of long. It's about slightly over 5 minutes. So I'm going to play you this, and then I'll wrap up. But yeah.
My king was born king. The Bible says he's a seven-way king. He's a king of the Jews. That's a racial king. He's a king of Israel. That's a national king. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Well, I wonder if you know him. Do you know him? Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? David said the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. My king is the only one for whom there are no means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his surely supply. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. And he's the supreme problem in high criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. And that's my king. He's the miracle of the age. He's the supremacy of everything good that you choose to call him. Well, he's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He's strong heart and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. The feeble, he blesses the young, he serves the unfortunate, he regards the evil, he rewards the diligent, and he unifies the weak. Do you know him? Well, my king is a king of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. Of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislature. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. His matchless, his goodness is limitless, his mercy is everlasting, his love never changes, his word is enough, his grace is sufficient, his reign is righteous, his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's indescribable. Yeah. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm trying to tell you, the heavens of heavens cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand it. But they found out they couldn't stop it. Pilate couldn't find any fault in it. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. And Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. Yay! He always has been. And he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor. And he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him. And there'll be nobody after him.
All right. Yeah, you need a little pep rally moment in your faith. You know, just look up that video. He'll get you fired up. So a couple things I just wanted to say. You know, how do you apply this, right? Number one, spend time with the Lord. Make time to be with him. Spend time in his word. Pray regularly and meditate. You know, Vishal Mangalwadi is a social commentator. He's from India. And he wrote a book called The Book That Made Your World, which is actually about the Bible's impact on history. But in the book, he gives a lot of India's history, because that's his country. One of the things he says is, our monks, the Buddhist and Hindu monks of India, told us we should empty our minds. But he said, when I looked at the Christian monks, they were filling their minds with things, with the wonder of God, and knowing that God created nature and the world, and that it was good. And he talks about, it's not about emptying your mind, we need to be filling our minds with things. So when, as Christians, when we talk about meditating, we're not talking about emptying your mind like you see in a lot of, like, you know, yoga videos or whatever, but we're talking about meditating on scripture, you know, meditating on this, meditating on the work of God in our lives, and filling our minds with those things. And so I want to encourage you to make time for God's word. And when you face those battles in life, every one of those situations, right? Like you're feeling insecure or somebody mistreated you or whatnot. Those are opportunities, actually. Sometimes we look at it like trials, but those are actually opportunities to live out our faith, to walk out our faith. One of the things I heard years ago somebody preaching about fasting, and they said that anytime you feel hungry, you know, while you're fasting, use that as a reminder, that feeling of hunger as a reminder to pray. Well, I started thinking about, like, oh, you know what? You could apply that to a lot of things, you know? You get that negative thought in your head, you know, maybe God doesn't love me, or, man, I'm so angry at that person. Whenever you identify that thought's in your head, you could use that as an opportunity, as a reminder. Oh, actually, who can I be praying for right now? What can I thank God for? You know, you can shift your thoughts. You know, what was something that stood out to me in my Bible reading? Is there somebody I know who needs prayer right now? You know, my kids, when they get scared at night, one of the things I'll tell them is what I used to do when I got scared in the middle of the night. I used to think, I'd start to feel scared. And then when I was thinking about a teenager, God was like, why don't you pray for somebody that needs to be prayed? You know, so in the middle of the night, when I started to feel afraid, I would start to, like, I'd use that as, like, oh, wait, let me just pray for this person right now, or pray for that person right now, you know? So that's one of the ways that where you could take the battle of your mind back and apply the words of God to our lives every day. So with that, it all starts with Jesus, right? It starts with knowing who he is and trusting him and taking him at his word.